What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Life is Beautifully Complex. What's up?
Nothing besides that we just got our Starbucks today.
Starbucks numero uno. It literally fuels my life.
You know, I honestly can't believe that we're on already, like, our third episode.
I know.
What'd you guys think of the first two episodes? Please let us know.
I feel like they were really good. I feel like the second one was pretty good.
I know, the first one's always awkward.
Also, like, we were still trying to figure out the mic situation. So it was like, I don't know. I felt like I had to mess with it a lot afterwards.
Honestly, I think it was just weird because we were getting ready with the two good mics and then we just had to transition to this tiny little mic that just picks up all the good audio.
I actually found out, like, I was doing some YouTube research this morning, as I do, and I found how they actually do record podcasts. Not, like, they use a standalone recorder. It's like those ones that you see people doing interviews with.
Oh, yeah.
But it's got four XLR inputs into it. And then it records up to six tracks. And you just can plug in mics, which is awesome.
That's
so
awesome. I'm going to get one of those. On film sets, we have our Zoom.
That's recorder. What it is. It's a Zoom.
Yeah, we have the Zoom and we have our lavaliers that connect.
It's a Zoom H6.
I don't even know which one we have. I just know that we use the Zoom on my thesis film set.
That is what they recommended, so I think that's what I'm going to get. But it's like $300-something.
You know what? Within time.
It's worth it. Well, because you can plug in any mic to it, so you can have, like, handheld mics.
Like the handheld, the lavs, like a boom mic, like, honestly. But
and then we can use it for just recording video, too, so that's pretty cool. But this episode's kind of crazy because
we're going to dive in.
Yeah, we're going to go way back into our relationship history and talk about our relationships, our breakups, or breakup, and how we're doing now.
Spilling that tea.
Yeah. And how we dealt with it, how we got through it, and
and just basically our experiences and, like, different eyes, because every relationship is different. Everybody goes through it differently and heals from it differently, so I think having two different perspectives will just...
I wonder if you can hear me drinking this iced tea on the
back. You can hear the ice.
ASMR channel.
There goes half of our listeners.
We just became an ASMR podcast. That's fine.
Jeez, I guess, where do we start? I guess, first relationship ever?
Okay, are we counting, like, when we were, like, young? Super young?
How super young? I'm talking about, like, actual relationships starts at high school.
Oh. Well, like, my first relationship, I was, like, 11.
Okay, I don't know if that counts.
It counted for me.
Okay, if it counts, it counts.
It was literally, so I lived in this tiny little town, and there's this kid that was homeschooled, and he was friends with my best friend, Jesse, and he and I hung out, and, like, the next day, we met halfway between our houses, well, Jesse's house and my house, because we lived on the same road, and he gave me a ring on a necklace and asked me to be his girlfriend, and I it was the cutest thing. We were, like, dated for, like, years. I don't know.
That is cute, but, like, fair warning. It was so I find a lot of these things cute, but I actually had a conversation yesterday with my sister how, like, I find these things cute, but I also find it cheesy and gross at the same time.
You're not a romantic.
I'm a hopeless romantic, to be quite honest.
What?
I am.
You just don't like the cheesiness of it?
I like the cheesiness, but, like, I feel like, for me, personally, it has to be delivered in a more natural way.
I mean, that was pretty natural for him. I don't know where he got that ring, though, because, like, I feel like it was, like, his parents or something. He stole it.
Like, I love cheesy stuff, like, if you do something for me, I'm just going to be like, oh my gosh, like, oh, this is really happening.
Did you have relationships in high school?
I had one, and it was the worst relationship that I could even begin with, because that was my first ever boyfriend, my first ever relationship. It was senior year of high school, and it was accidental.
Did I know you in senior year?
Yes, because I started working when I was 16. So you met me around my junior...
What? Junior. How did I not know about this? Okay.
Because I kept it a secret because, like, I didn't know how to go about with this. Actually, I think you knew.
Oh, maybe.
Because we went to the movies together, remember? He was movie theater boy.
Maybe.
He worked at the movies, and we went to go see that cheesy rom-com about the Which horses. Which one? About the horses. No, the bull riding.
I didn't go to that. It must have been Becca.
I feel like you were also there.
Maybe. I'm not sure. My memory is, like, terrible. If it didn't, like, greatly impact my life, I just, like,
That's
let it go.
That's probably why. Like, I
don't know. Not that your relationship wasn't important.
No, it wasn't. It really wasn't. It happened on an accident because I'm the type of person that feels okay going to the movies alone. Mm-hmm. So I did that for a while, being a film major, and I just wanted to go watch movies. And movie boy, he works there, so he gets free rides, like free admission to all these movies.
Free rides?
What? I don't even know.
Okay.
I just didn't know, like, what I was gonna say. But I basically invited him to go see a movie.
Yeah.
And I offered to bring him home from work because he didn't have his license by then.
Because you were only 16.
Yeah. Okay. 16, 17. Because I graduated at 17 because my birthday is in the summer. Mm-hmm. So we watched the movie together, and for some reason we talked again when we both got home on Facebook, and it was like, oh, that was really fun, we should go see another movie. And I'm thinking about it like, oh, it's just, you know, two friends going to go see a movie because we're in the same friend group.
Yeah.
But turns out he was telling everybody that it was a date. So then I went to go pick him up because he had an event that he was at before our movie date, I guess. And he's just like, why aren't you telling me you're going out with him? Why? Like, all my friends of our friend groups was bombarding us. And I'm just like, I didn't even know that this was a date.
Oh my gosh.
So
you got roped into it.
So yeah, we just basically got roped into it. And that's how my first relationship started.
How long did that last?
A month and a half. He broke up with me at my favorite Froyo shop.
Rude. Did he buy you Froyo first?
Yeah, but then broke up with me after, thinking it was going to be okay after I got Froyo.
Oh my gosh. I had one, like, serious relationship all through high school. And we actually lived next door to each other when we were in, like, 7th and 8th grade, when I moved down south from where I was living in the middle of nowhere. And we lived next door to each other, and we became really good friends. And then we started dating, like, the very beginning of freshman year. And we dated off and on throughout high school. Like, I think we would go, like, 8 months at a time and then break up. And then, like, I didn't really have any other serious relationships. I, like, dated people, but I didn't have, like, a real serious relationship until my most recent.
I don't think I've ever had a serious relationship, I would think. I know one of them was just really on and off, and that was pretty toxic. So I didn't really think that I had feelings, but after thinking about it and going through it, after everything that was said to me at the end of that friendship, it turned out it didn't feel like a real relationship, and I was thinking I was just fooling myself with those feelings. And
yeah.
I don't regret driving out to go see that person, but at the same time, I can't believe what they said to me was real, you know?
Well, like, that's how I feel about my most recent relationship and breakup. It's like, it's amazing what you'll allow to happen to you and what you'll allow to be said to you when you're involved with somebody and you have strong feelings for them, because you're in it. So you can't really see the toxicity of it or how damaging it is, because you're literally in a bubble and all you see is them. And you know, the all the little things in the moment don't feel that important or that horrible until you look back and you look at it all as a whole, and it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I let that happen to me. I can't believe I was treated that way for so long and just allowed it to happen. And in a sense, it's, you feel kind of stupid, like, really, you know, stupid. What I mean? And that's not fair because it's not necessarily our fault. Like,
right.
I mean, I'm sure I did a lot of things that weren't the best. Mm-hmm. Like, I could have handled things better in certain situations, but at the end of the day, nobody deserves to be treated badly or talked down to, mm-hmm. or made to feel less than. And that's, you know, that's no one's fault but the person doing it. And like, but I do feel like I feel responsible for allowing those things to happen to me for so long, right. and not getting out or standing up for myself, because when you're in it, you feel like you can't.
Which I totally understand, because we started as friends first before getting into our relationship, and we were friends for a good year. And then after getting into this so-called relationship with the label, things just turned out to be more toxic than I thought it was. Like, I can't believe that I let this go on for another year, because it was an on and off relationship. I didn't really tell anybody besides you and my roommate at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And any of our friends that we had together. And I just, looking back at it now, just like, I can't believe how toxic that was. I feel free now that I'm out of that relationship. And she hasn't talked to me since, so.
Same. yeah, this past relationship, I think it was my first real relationship, serious relationship, after coming out to my whole family and all my friends. So it meant that much more to me. I mean, it was pretty much bad from the start. I just didn't want to see that. And I have this bad habit of like seeing something or someone that needs something, like they need help or they're struggling in some way or whatever, and I just want to help so much, and I want to do anything and everything for that person. And with her, like, from the get-go, like, it was good probably the first 2 weeks or so, which I still don't understand. I don't know if that was just, like, if that was real or if that was just, like, an act to, like, rope me in. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't, like, I'll never know the real, like, reason or why. But it was really good, and, like, I was introduced to her friends and her family and her son, and, like,
mm-hmm.
Brought into her world really quickly and very intensely, which should have been a red flag, but to me, it just felt so good to finally be myself and be out and have a relationship with somebody that I immediately felt like I clicked with.
Yeah.
And then it quickly got really bad, and she started to pull away, and like her ex got involved, and like she went back to him, and then, you know, all this crazy stuff, and it went back and forth for like, I don't know, like 10 months or something of this, and I would pull away, and then she'd come back, and then I'd back off, and I'd try so hard to just not care and to not be involved in it. And you know, my friends were telling me not to get involved with this and to just let it go, but I just for some reason couldn't. And
but you also had that moment where you basically ignored her for a while.
Yeah, it was like 3 weeks. I could just cut her off because she flipped out at me because I was with a friend that she didn't like, and I was having a really good time, and she was just, I don't know, I'm not entirely sure what the feelings were on her end. Mm-hmm. I think that she was going through some stuff, and so that outburst was kind of, it was not solely based on
right.
what I was doing or her feelings towards me. That was like, whatever, there was a lot going on in her life, yeah. and I just couldn't deal with it anymore. So I cut it off, and she called me from blocked numbers and from different phones and would send me videos on this, like, Marco Polo app that I ended up deleting. And then she emailed me and all this stuff. And I finally had to just be like, this, like, you can't do this anymore. Like, it's over. Like, this is done. Mm-hmm. And she just wanted closure or me to call her. And but I knew that if I called her or saw her, that that would be it. I would be right back in it again. I wouldn't be able to say goodbye to her, to her face. Right. And it lasted about 3 weeks. And then I unblocked her on Instagram for some reason. And I ended up seeing that there was a message from her. When I unblocked her, there was a message from her on Instagram. And it was just a picture of a quote that was like, I hope that when you stop loving me, you tell me or something. Or like, don't promise me forever. Just promise me when you stop loving me that you'll tell me or something like that. And I was like, I didn't stop loving you. I just stopped being able to handle this. Like, and I had to say that to her. I felt like I didn't want to come across as this uncaring, unloving person. Mm-hmm. And it really, it hit me hard. So I had to say something. And that just roped it. I got roped right back in. And we met up for, I think, dinner or something. And she came over and we talked about everything. And then right back in it again, right back in the cycle. And we were like really happy and really good. And then she wanted me to move up to her town and quit my job and get a new job up there. And I did all of that just like very fast. Right. And I mean, I think that because I was just so crazy about her, I didn't stop to think what would be good for me or what's rational or logical. Like, all of that was just out the window.
Yeah, I remember the phone calls of you driving up there, driving back and forth, and you just basically choosing to be like, I'm going. And I just saw the picture of all your suitcases.
Yeah.
Like, she's really doing this.
Yeah.
And granted, I supported you 100% because I saw that she made you really, really happy.
I think that, yeah, I would call you every time I was driving up there. I was like, I don't know if this is right. I don't know if what I'm doing is okay, but, like, I need to take a chance because if I don't, I'm going to regret it. Like, right. And it was good until I moved there.
Mm-hmm.
And part of me so much wishes that I hadn't made that move. I had stuck it out here and stayed here and didn't move and just kept going on the weekends because maybe it would have been better, but probably not. And so I feel a lot of guilt surrounding this relationship and everything that went down in it, because I feel like at the end of the day, so many people got hurt, and like, I definitely didn't react in the greatest way mm-hmm. at the end, but I was completely fueled by like these intense emotions and this intense heartbreak that, and feeling used and taken advantage of, and you know. So I moved up there and changed everything, left my family, friends, everything, and got a new job, and that was hard. And then we just fought all the time because of one thing or another, and her ex, and she was talking to him, and she was, you know, all this stuff, or I wasn't happy, or something was going on back home, and I just felt really disconnected from my family and everything I knew. And I was in this tiny town just, I mean, you know me, I'm a creative person, like, I need to do things, and that just, her and I didn't click on that level, like, she did not have the same visions as I did mm-hmm. for, like, life, and not to say that what she wants to do isn't great, because I think it isn't, she has really big goals and dreams, but, like, I just, we didn't mesh in that way, and I think I fooled myself into kind of taking on her dreams and goals because I wanted to be with her so badly and wanted to provide and be supportive and there for her. And I just kind of lost myself in the process, which I think is so typical of like relationships sometimes.
And it shows that you don't really know a person until you're in such a deep relationship and you find everything that you don't click with, and it's either their choice or your choice to either work with it and try to see the good in it and work together to be stronger, or it just falls apart because you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
But I think more in your situation with the way that she was handling things, it just didn't click well with you because you also took that chance to do stuff for yourself at a point, remember?
Yeah.
And for some reason, she didn't like that. She didn't want you to be off on your own and right. wanted you to be at her, like, beck and call.
It did feel that way sometimes. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure if you ask her,
she wouldn't say that.
No, but, like, there was times where I'd be like, I want to work a lot. And she'd be like, well, how are you going to take care of X, Y, and Z or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a hard worker. I like to work, and yeah. that's what I like to do. But I always made sure I was there for her son and would take him to daycare and, you know, make dinners and clean the house and whatever else. Not to say she didn't do those things too, but, like, I was doing my best to have, you know, do things for me and work. And I also, I wanted to feel connected mm-hmm. to her. I wanted to do things with her all the yeah. time. And the things we did do that were awesome were really great. Like some, you know, one night we decided we were at Walmart. It was like 6 o'clock at night. We decided to drive to Augusta, which is like an hour away, just right. to like hang out and walk around Target and like go to TJ Maxx because yeah. we just felt like it. And right. it was fun. Like, and we did things like that. And
simple, like those are the best.
Yeah, it was a great time. And like, we ended up moving and that was really stressful. And we moved into a bigger place. And she just has a lot of unfinished things in her head, or like things she hasn't dealt with. Like, undealt with things and with herself and her emotions and mm-hmm. her past that she wasn't willing to acknowledge at the time or acknowledge with me. So she would revert back to
she just past. Wasn't ready.
No, she wasn't at all. And I think that she really wanted to be. Mm-hmm. But because she wasn't ready, or maybe just because this is who she is, she just became a very toxic person in my life. And I mean, maybe she felt the same way about me, but like, she would just put me down all the time. And, you know, it just felt really bad.
Yeah.
Most of the time. And like, when it ended, it was so bad that I was just so broken, and I just didn't, I felt like I had lost everything because I had changed everything in my life and moved and lost my old job. And like, I was coming back to my parents and not my own place. And she was staying in her town with her friends, her family, our home, yeah. at, you know, her job. Like, and I just felt this deep devastation. Like, everything had been pulled out from underneath me, and I was just like trying so hard to get it back. And she was telling me that she didn't feel anything for me, didn't feel that way about me, mm-hmm. and like never loved me, and like all this stuff that was so hurtful that you just don't say to another human being, mm-hmm. especially someone who's hurting. Right. You don't just rub it in, you know, like, you
mostly
don't put
after being yeah. together for so long and going through what you did with her.
Yeah, I mean, you don't put salt in the wound. And it was just bad all yeah. around. And like, I thought I would never come out of it. But like, and I remember people being like, sometimes, you know, it takes like a year to get over things like this. And I was like, oh, heck no. Like, absolutely not. I'm not going to feel this way.
I'm starting the healing process now, and I'm going to finish it within a couple weeks.
Right. Like, that was my mindset. I was like, there is no way that I'm going to feel like this for a year. Right. Like, absolutely not. And it was probably like a week of maybe two, week and a half of just like intense pain, and I couldn't sleep in my own bed, and like I slept on the couch next to my mom, and like, because I was just devastated. I would just wake up crying, and like, you know, it wasn't just her that I lost, it was her son too. And right. I was so connected to him and her family and her friends, and like mm-hmm. and I would just post things that I felt connected to, and you know, got so much backlash for that.
Somehow, but it backfired on you to express your emotions this way.
Yeah, I mean, but I really was just like seeking out other people that had gone through this. And like, I don't think that's wrong It probably felt like an attack to her, but I honestly needed, at that point, it was trying to survive. Yourself. I was trying to get through it. And yeah. Like, I don't think that's ever wrong.
No, it's not wrong. If you're working on yourself after something really, like, something that just happened to you recently that's just super big, like, of course you're going to want to work on yourself and find people who relate to it, because then you'll have somebody else to talk to about it, and they'll understand your point of view without having a biased opinion.
Yeah. I guess I just, like, I was just so hurt, and I put a lot into it,
mm-hmm.
and felt like I got nothing back in return, mm-hmm. and I feel a lot of guilt surrounding it, and I'll just, not so much anymore, I don't feel like that pain anymore, because it's kind of just, it's been so long now, yeah. Well, it's been a couple of months anyway, and it feels like a lifetime. Like, I feel like I don't know her, I don't have any idea what she's doing, or mm-hmm. like, any need to know what's happening.
It's also because you cut contact with her, you don't have any of her, like, social media platforms, right. You're not talking to any of her family members anymore, right. So I think that's why it feels like a lifetime rather than, I'm not saying this is anything wrong or anything, but those who do check up on their exes and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's not good.
It's not healthy, but right. There's...
I mean, I understand people that do that, but it's like, what's the point? Like, yeah. You're just gonna hurt yourself, it's just damaging to yourself, so, yeah, like, exactly. I don't know, I guess... To each their own, like, you have to deal and heal in, like, a way that, like, works for you, but right. That just does not work for me.
Like, it, within time, I know people who still check up on their exes or whatever, they're just seeing if, oh, they find somebody new, which is, like, not healthy, but if it's your way to heal,
mm-hmm.
to slowly get away from it, because I think the first thing to do is just to unfollow.
Yeah.
Like, that's the biggest weight you could take off your shoulders, and then if you're still checking, just... try to get away from that.
Yeah.
I definitely stopped doing that about 2 months ago.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, once I cut contact and, like, it was over, like, I didn't look back because no. I just didn't want to be hurt like that. Like, I know it was really hard, like, on her son's birthday. I was like, I cannot look at anything, like, I don't want to hurt like that, but it was painful because, like, yeah. I had, you know, you plan things ahead of time, like, I had plans to, like, for things to give him for his birthday and do for him, and, like, you know, Easter and, like, holidays and stuff, and it's, yeah. like, it's painful, but it's, like, at this point, it feels like a lifetime ago, and I'm just letting go, like, forgiving mm-hmm. and moving on because right. That's what I have to do for me. And I think my, like, biggest saving grace was, like, planning my future and being, like, okay, like, once it was, like, a week and a half or so, I was just, like, that's it. Like, I got to get out of here. Like, made plans to move to Vegas, like, started working again. Like, I was, like, this is what's happening and we're just going to make it happen. Like, right, exactly. Started this podcast. Like,
you definitely learned a lot from this.
I learned so much.
Experience.
And that's important. I think that's important with any relationship, breakup, experience, like, friendship, friendships that don't last, because I've had those. Like,
Yeah. You
have to take something positive from every negative situation and learn something.
Definitely.
Like, truly, like, be humbled by it and take the good out of it, take the experiences out of it, because now I know exactly what I don't want in a relationship and mm-hmm. what I do deserve and what I am willing to give, and that I am somebody that will take a risk and right. and move for somebody, you know?
And not only that, but despite all of those things that you learn within a relationship of a good or bad experience, you also learned a lot of things about yourself.
Yep, like, I did.
Your habits that you could change, anything to make mm-hmm. you a better person, you'll learn that in each relationship that you're in.
And I'm so much more comfortable now in my own skin
mm-hmm.
because of that. I lost myself for so long in that relationship that when I came out on the other end and I was like, and figured out what I truly wanted mm-hmm. for myself, I know myself so much better now. And I feel stronger than I ever was, because before I was just like, I was like living to please her and like do things for her and take care of her. Yeah. I mean, even if she wasn't asking for it, that's still what I was doing.
Like, it was like a natural new habit.
Yeah. And that's just not good because that's not necessarily an attractive quality. I mean, it is to be like giving and caring and whatever else, but like when you're, that's like your whole identity, like it's not good.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just making sure that you know yourself before you get into a relationship.
Yeah,
definitely. A lot of us are still like finding out who we are, finding out, still just growing as a person. But as long as you feel ready to be in a relationship, go right for it. But if there are things that still hold you back from being comfortable with who you are and just being proud of who you are, just, you can't get into a relationship if you're not at that level yet.
Right. And I think I thought I was.
Yeah.
But I wasn't fully comfortable with my sexuality then either. Mm-hmm. And now I am. And that's a huge positive from this, you know, to have an open, like, open in a way, I mean, like, public relationship with a girl is, like, that was huge for me.
Yeah, definitely.
And so now I'm just going to let it go, and, like, this is kind of my last, like, time talking about it and just moving forward and, you know, no terribly bad feelings at this moment.
I mean, like, right now, seeing you now, seeing us do this podcast and having our plans together in the future just makes me, like, super proud of, like, how you went from something so toxic and you're coming out as, like, a better person now.
Thank you. I try.
Yeah, of course. As you see in your room with Starbucks.
I know. I work hard. But, yeah, how about yours?
Oh, man.
Now the mic's turned to you.
This is a big one because me and this guy, we weren't labeled as a relationship, but we were definitely getting there.
Yep.
So I met this guy on a dating app about a year ago, and we really hit it off. We started talking on Snapchat, and we got to know each other a bit, and then it progressed to us automatically going to FaceTime. So this was definitely long distance because I was in New York and he was basically living in Minnesota, but he's from Chicago. So he was really cute, I'll give him that, at the time.
We all are in the beginning.
In the beginning. But I just feel like because he was also creative in a way that, like, I feel connected to him, and I was able to talk to him comfortably, like, oh my god, English. I was comfortable with him, okay? So we were on a FaceTime. I felt super, super nervous, and that FaceTime call lasted, like, an hour. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, this might be it, you know? Definitely didn't jump into anything right away, because I'm always the friends first before relationship.
Right.
But with the things that he did, the things that he said made me fall really, really hard. And I feel stupid for doing this, but I don't regret it at all. But he basically changed his life from school and work to wanting to create a company. And I was all for it. I was right behind him because I supported stuff like that. I support people who want to follow their dreams and be creative, make things that are their own brand. And so because I was in the film major, like the film production and everything, I was like, oh, I'm very skilled in photography and film. If you want me to do anything, just let me know. So I made him edits for his website. I also got to meet his brother, quotes around brother. It's not really like a blood brother, but they grew up together.
Yeah.
And so the crazy girl that I am, he was planning a birthday party in the month of April of last year, and I was just like, oh, let's go. Like, I'll come out, I'll film stuff, I'll do pictures for you. You can have your whole birthday party and your launch party for your merch, your product. And totally agreed, booked my Airbnb, had a little quarrel with the ex.
I didn't know that.
About it. Yeah, it's a big story. So basically, that person, you know how I drove to go see them,
mm-hmm.
the ex. So ended up paying for my hotel room, but the person was going to pay me back.
Right.
So I wasn't in a rush to get money until this trip.
Right.
So it gave that person a good 5 months.
Right.
5-6 months to, for me to be like, okay, I'm going on a trip, basically a business trip.
Right.
And
but they didn't see it that way.
But they didn't see it that way.
Yeah.
They were more like, you haven't talked to me in months, and the first thing that you ask is for money. I'm just like, that's not what happened.
How quickly things change.
So it escalated, and we got into a fight about that. But I ended up making it to Chicago on time. Had my Airbnb. Great Airbnb host, by the way. Shout out to them.
Shout out to Airbnb. Sponsor us.
But he went out of his way, picked me up from the airport, dropped me off at my Airbnb, helped me check in and all, took me out to lunch, and good burger place. We went to go meet up with his brother. And we basically started to talk about everything that came from the company to the party, and I got to meet more of his friends, and all of that was just super nice. He ended up kissing me that one night of the party before I had to leave back to my flight, so like, good way to end things. Yes. But yeah, people tell me I'm crazy for flying out to Chicago for him, but at the same time, I saw it as a partnership, as a business, before I saw it as a relationship thing.
I mean, I don't think you're crazy. Like, our mutual friend met somebody on, like, a webcam, like, webcam site. That sounds so bad, but it was called Stickam. She met him on there and then flew out to, like, right, Illinois, like, so.
Yeah, it's just, because it's not really seen to be part of, like, traditional, like, family-wise for me to just go fly out to see a guy, but.
Right. You took a chance.
I took a chance. I took a risk. Like, he expressed that he liked me as well. This is where it gets crazy. So
hold on to your seats.
I'm also the type of person to be like, oh, there's something not wrong with you, but like, you're going through something. Let me help.
Right.
You know?
We like to fix people.
We like to fix people, even though it can be really toxic.
Yeah.
At the moment, like, I don't think he was actually that toxic, but yeah. Towards until what he did. So after our trip to Chicago, he called me while I was in the airport before I was boarding my flight because he passed out on the couch. And he thanked me. He did all these things. He was like, oh, I don't remember what I did because we ended up drinking. And I'm like, you fell asleep in your best friend's bed and I had to carry you all the way to the couch. So I'm on my flight to New York, and I texted him, you know, I'm home safe, and he goes, great, I'll call you tonight. So throughout all of the summer, because this was basically around school ending and him helping me get through my parents' divorce, like, he knew everything, I got to call him, I felt comfortable, and I FaceTimed him almost every night, we called each other when he needed, and because he also deals with, like, his depression and anxiety, to the point where sometimes he can't breathe, he calls mm-hmm. me for comfort, and I was there to give it to him. Little did I know, it was just being used that way. So, it's towards where summer starting to end. I'm flying back home to get ready for my last year of school. And he and I just basically stopped talking. And then I realized that he unfollowed me on Instagram, unfollowed me from his company account, and he just ghosted me.
It's lovely.
For about 2 months until I find out that he's in a relationship. And before that, he's the one who initiated the conversation. How do you feel about us right now? Like, do you think we are gonna get somewhere if we're gonna be in a relationship? I'm like, I am willing to wait. I like you a lot, and it seems that you like me too.
Since you had big plans too.
Yeah, and I had plans to do film, you know, and do all this.
Even wasn't he going to move to, like, California or something? Like, didn't you guys talk about that?
He wanted to move to Cali along with me because I wanted to move out west. And he was just like, oh, like, maybe if we get to that point, like, I'll go meet you there or I'll move out with you at that time. And I'm like, oh, okay, great. It seems so fast. But at the same time, with the amount of times that we talked every night, it just seemed like we knew each other forever.
Right.
And so, yeah, he was the one that initiated the conversation of, like, oh, where do you think this is going? I like you. I'm the type to fall fast for people. But he told me that he wasn't ready yet, as, like, mentally. Like, right. He felt like he couldn't be the best person of himself. And I explained to him that you can still grow as a person while being in a relationship, because no matter what, I'd be there to support you.
I can't tell you how many times I said that in my relationship, where, like, she'd be going through something. I'm like, I'm still here for you. Like, you don't have to push me away. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to support you. I'll, like, do whatever I can to make things easier on you. But for whatever reason, I feel like when people are low mentally, like, mental health-wise, it's
hard.
It's hard to accept support, and it's hard to ask for support.
Yeah, which I understand. But at the same time, whenever he needed that support, he didn't really say it, but he called me.
Right, so he's using you to vent.
Using me to vent, and he just wanted to hear my voice. Like, I remember one time, there was just one night, I was with my family in California, and he called me, because they knew about it, they liked teasing me about it, because I really liked him, but he asked me just to keep him company on the phone, because he was always also going through a lot that I won't say out of his privacy, but I knew about it, because he was struggling, and he was really nervous about the next day, so I just stayed on the phone with him, and he ended up calling me in the morning, like, oh, thank you so much for all your support, and, like, I knew that you'd be okay, and he was like, yeah, like, thank you, like, you really mean a lot to me, like, saying all these words, and then in the fall, like, I find out that he is with somebody else. Like, he got a girlfriend without letting me know, and we had this agreement where it was where I said, I put this out, and I was like, if we ever find each other, because I know it's hard for him to have a long-distance relationship, if there's anybody else in our lives, we'll let the other person know.
Like, out of respect.
Out of respect, and he agreed to it. But he didn't keep that promise at all, so.
I just feel like he used you up until the point where he didn't need you anymore. And, like, that happened so often. Like, I felt like that in my relationship too. Like once they get what they need out of you, like, then they're gone.
Yeah.
And, like it's on to the next person or whatever, the next thing. Like.
Right, because at first it didn't seem that way because, like, he expressed that he loves me. He was only worried about us being long distance.
Right.
And I expressed that, like, oh, I would be able to come visit every now, like, every so often, you know, because I love traveling to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So me jumping on a plane to go somewhere isn't a problem for me. But for some reason, it was just holding him back. And being me, finding out that he ghosted me with another girl, finding out, like, she is also as long distance, but just in the next state over. So
that's frustrating.
Being hurt that I was after giving like my attention and time to him for probably 6-7 months, and finding this out, I did not handle it well, as in my emotions. Like, I don't like girl on girl fights.
Right.
I hate that so much.
Like, cattiness.
But I submitted to it for about 2 weeks. I stalked her Instagram. I made comments. And now looking back at it, she is really pretty.
Just putting that out there.
Like, I don't like the cattiness between girl and girl. Like, hatred.
Over a guy who's really, truly the one that
is at fault.
Yeah.
Because later, when I found out that they were in a relationship, I was also working on towards, like, healing by that time. And I just found out that one day they broke up and she actually found somebody new. And he blocked me everywhere during that time, so I couldn't see anything. And the only reason why I would see anything is just, like, the normal high school, college thing. Oh, my friend, you have an Instagram that he has on block. Let's go look and see what he says, just in case that he is shit-talking me, you know?
Right.
And, because being the type of person I am, I don't like confrontation, but if it's about me and if it's about, derailing my image, then I will step in and say something.
Right.
Because I know that I'm a good person, I know who I am, and if you have to belittle me to make yourself feel better, I won't pass up the chance to call you out for it.
Yeah, God only knows what's out there about me.
So, I'm almost done my healing process. It's like a month and a half later, because with me being in school, I'm doing so many things that I'm not really thinking about it until I'm sitting by myself and, like, in my thoughts. So I wasn't really able to focus on myself for, like, a week and a half to, like, get through that healing process. I'm sleeping in my room, getting ready to head to the city because I have to hold auditions for my roommate's film. He calls me at 4 in the morning, upset. And I remember screaming into the phone, "You better tell me who you are, because I have to get up in 2 hours and you're calling me at 3-4 in the morning." And it was silence on the phone for a quick, like, 3 seconds, and he goes, "Hey." And I didn't hold back. I said in the phone, "Oh my God, what?"
Yeah.
And
yeah, you went off on him.
I went off on him. I will say that. he didn't cry, but he was definitely upset, telling me that she broke up with him.
So again, using you to vent to.
Right, that he was devastated and that he was heartbroken, and that's where I felt fully awake when he said he was heartbroken. And I just go, "Well, you know what, it's 4 in the morning. You feel heartbroken. I don't know what to say at the moment, because, like, I'm thinking to myself, if you felt heartbroken, then what did I feel when you you led me on the way that you did?"
Yeah.
The fact that he was the one that initiated the kiss when I was in Chicago, the one that would always call me, because I didn't call him, he called me, unless I just felt like, oh, it's my turn to put in that effort. But he was the one that called me, wanted to watch movies with me. Like, we video chatted and, like, watched movies together. And he was just like, "Well, I'm really sad and, like, I'm devastated that she broke up with me." And I'm just
like, what a slap in the face.
Like, you basically opened up the wound again, rubbed salt while I was almost done with you.
Yeah. So how long did it take for you to get past that? That wasn't that long ago.
That initial moment. So that happened around October.
Yeah.
And I think I got through it.
I'm pretty sure I was driving up north and you called me.
Yeah, I was driving.
And I was like, YOLO. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I remember because I was in the audition room and I had free time in between auditions, and I called you. I'm like, "Oh, wait, I gotta tell Ashley this." Yeah. She doesn't know. Because the first person I told was my roommate, because I was meeting up with her.
Meanwhile, I'm driving to my downfall.
That's the way to put it. But yeah, so I called her, I told her everything that happened, and I think it was up until mid-December when I finally got over it. It took me a good month and a half, because it was like, why are you calling me again? Why are you contacting me? And I think it was after my phone call with you, I was like, "All right, bullet point list, I'm gonna call him."
And I think I told you, make a pros and cons
or pros something. Pros and cons, because, like, if I let him back in my life, I don't know what's gonna happen. But I can see my life without him, and I feel happier. I feel so much better about myself. Yeah. I feel like I can work towards my degree without anybody holding me. It didn't feel like he was holding me back, but if I kept thinking about him, it felt like it was holding me back.
It was just energy that was being wasted.
Yeah.
So, how, like, for somebody who's going through the same thing as, like, you did or I did, what would be your best advice for them if they're feeling like they're in a toxic relationship or something just doesn't feel right, or, you know, people are telling them that there's red flags but they just don't see it?
I think the best thing to do is just to listen to your gut and listen to your heart. Like, as cheesy and cliche as that sounds, your initial feeling when you're with somebody is always the best thing that you could ever listen to. Because if you feel like something's wrong, if you feel uncomfortable, then that's your chance to get out of there before you're sucked into something that you can't get out of. Yeah. And honestly, do take in what your friends and family are saying into consideration, because they will see things that you don't.
Right. I think my brother even, like, because I had reached out to him, or I had seen him, like, probably a week or two before the breakup, and I was like, I don't know what to do, like, I don't know what's right, what's wrong, and he's like, stop listening to your heart, or whatever. Like, whatever one's telling you that you should stay and continue to endure being hurt and feeling like this, don't listen to that one. Listen to the logical side that says get out, and, like, but I didn't, like, because, you know, and I wish I had, like, I wish I had never gone back initially, but, you know, I learned a lot, so maybe I wouldn't have learned that had I not gone back. But I just feel like, I think my best advice for somebody is just to, like, definitely figure out what you deserve and what you want in a relationship, and don't accept anything less than that. Right. Like, don't ever accept less or make excuses for somebody to hurt you, like, because we've done that. Like,
and you know what? It doesn't go for just girls. It goes for guys too. Like, honestly, know yourself. Know what you believe in. Know what you want. Be the best person you can be, and don't settle for anything less, because if that's the case, then it's probably not worth it. Because each individual has their own, like, worth. And you just basically have to believe in that and know that you deserve somebody who's connected with you and is the best for you.
Yeah.
Even if you have to go through many dating and many relationship experiences.
But they're all experiences. That's the thing.
They're experiences.
So here's the big question. Are you dating now?
I'm not dating now. I am single. Please don't hit me up.
Hashtag singles club.
Singles club.
Are you on any dating sites?
I am, actually. I'm on three. I'm deleting one dating app. honestly, I don't think I would have time to date right now, depending on everything that I've been going through right now. Like, I started a new job. I'm moving with you soon.
Right.
I have to prepare.
We're getting the heck out of here.
And I think for me, because everybody almost knows everybody around here, that I just can't see myself dating people around my area. And I just need somebody to be comfortable with the busy schedule I will have, or I do have.
Same. I just don't, I want somebody that wants to travel, wants to experience new things, like, is comfortable with themselves, comfortable with being in a relationship with me, and, like, you know, wants to tell people. Definitely. Like, you know, isn't, like, ashamed, or, like, has people they need to hide it from or whatever. Like, you know, so, I don't know. I'm not, like, I'm definitely, like, I've been on dating sites, and, like, I'm talked to people and stuff, and, like, I'm talking to someone now, but like, you know, it's just gonna be a slow process, I think, this time around, because, you know, everything,
right, after jumping into something so quick for both of our sides, like, I think it's time to just work on ourselves, slow down, focus on the things that we're doing now. But yeah, I mean, like, if it comes to a chance, maybe I'll go on a date or two, but it's not my first priority at the moment.
Right. Same. Well, this was a good episode. Yeah. This was intense.
We definitely got a lot out there.
Yeah, I think it's good. We got it off our chest, like, hopefully help somebody else, and we can move forward now and never have to talk about that again.
Exactly. We're done with this.
Done and over with. All right, guys. Well, check back next Tuesday. We put out new podcasts every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern. That might change when we move to Las Vegas, but probably not. And let us know in the comments. Also, I saw this thing on Anchor where we host our podcast that people can call in and be featured. So check that out. Leave us comments on our Instagram. It's at Life is Beautifully Complex. And let us know what you want to hear us talk about. And we will definitely probably talk about them. So
yeah, make sure you stream our podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at it is complex.
Yeah, it's it and then underscore is underscore
complex.
You know why? Because you can't, there was no other ones.
You can also find our separate socials on our Instagram and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Yeah, talk to you next week.
All right. Bye.
See ya.